The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of your SB Nation family of podcasts. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View. Special treat for you on today's show, as we will be talking to New York Giants legend and Super Bowl 25 MVP Otis Anderson a little bit later in the program. And hopefully you guys will enjoy, you know, my chat with Otis, which is something that I have been looking forward to for a very, very long time. And I think that you guys should enjoy that. So we'll get to that a little bit later on in the program. Before we do that, wanted to hit a couple of topics of interest for the Giants, things that I've been asked about, things that have come up in the news, you know, quite a bit lately. So let's roll through a few of those things right now before we get to my interview with Otis Anderson. First thing I want to talk about is all the questions that I've been getting and all the stuff I've been reading about the Giants need to pursue Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson if Watson indeed is available for trade from the Texans. And, you know, my stance, and this is something I wrote about in last Saturday's Big Blue View mailbag, my stance is that this is just not something that the Giants can really do at this point in time. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you that Daniel Jones is better than Deshaun Watson. He's not. But the fact of the matter is, you look at the price tag that Watson is going to command from any team that trades for him. And the number of teams that might get involved in this, you're talking about at least two number one picks. You're probably talking about giving up Daniel Jones as well, which, of course, if you have Deshaun Watson, you know, that's acceptable. That, of course, is something that you'd have to do. But you're talking about at least two number one picks, probably more than that, probably several picks that are, you know, premium picks in the draft. And my stance is this. Listen, we don't know yet how good Daniel Jones is going to be. We don't know if he's going to be a top five, top 10 NFL quarterback. He may not be. He may be a middle of the pack quarterback. We don't know yet, but he might be a quarterback that you can win playoff games, that you can make a Super Bowl run with. We'll find out over the next couple of seasons probably. But my point, my feeling on this is that the Giants are just not in a position. They only have six draft choices coming up here. They're not in a position where they have extra draft capital to mess around with here, to offer to the Texans. For the Giants to make the kind of offer that would be necessary to get Deshaun Watson, the issue that they would face is that they wouldn't have any draft capital remaining, and probably no cap space remaining to go out and supplement the roster and make trading for a player like Deshaun Watson worthwhile by putting pieces around him that would enable you to go out and pursue a championship. For me, the better path for the Giants right now is to stay patient with Daniel Jones, to continue to build around him, to give him some better weapons on offense, to hopefully expand the offense a little bit, change the offense a little bit, whether Jason Garrett is back or not, to add some wrinkles, add some motion, add a little bit more play action, get Daniel Jones some playmakers, get Saquon Barkley healthy, and see where the Giants go from there. I just feel like trading for Deshaun Watson, although tempting, although you understand the name value and I understand how good he is, would put the Giants in a situation where you're more or less bankrupting the franchise and not giving yourself a chance to put other talent around him that would actually enable you to win. Another thing I want to do quickly is just congratulate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Kansas City Chiefs on reaching the Super Bowl. In our last show on Monday, show that I did speaking with Dan Hatman about the coach GM hiring cycle, that show had been recorded on the Friday prior to conference championship games, so I didn't get a chance in that Monday show to congratulate the Buccaneers and Kansas City Chiefs on reaching the Super Bowl. What a matchup that's going to be. You've got the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady, the winningest quarterback of all time when it comes to Super Bowls and playoffs and all of that, against a guy who, looking at the beginning stages of his career, a guy in Patrick Mahomes, who could wind up threatening some of those marks that Brady has set if he stays healthy, if his career lasts long enough. So really intriguing matchup, the old hand in Brady against the young gun in Mahomes. And I'm really looking forward to the Super Bowl in another week and a half. So we'll see what happens there. I'm not really going to make my pick right now, although my conversation that I'm going to have with Otis Anderson in a little while might sort of give away, what my pick is going to be, but I will officially wait until next week, until a couple days before the game, to actually unveil that pick officially. Last thing I wanted to mention was news that broke on Wednesday morning that we saw that former Giants quarterback Eli Manning may be looking for a role with the team, and I'm excited by that. Manning has talked about, wanting to get back into football, wanting to get involved with the Giants. And word that has come out right at this point, or the speculation, is that role could be as a mentor of some sort of, for players, not really as a member of the front office, not really as a coach, but really as a mentor, for these young men coming into the NFL and dealing with New York and New Jersey and the media and the market and all of the things that go along with being an NFL player. And, Eli Manning was a great representative of the New York Giants franchise for so long. I can't think of anyone better to really put in that role to help guide some of these young men through some of the ups and downs and things that they have to deal with in the difficult New York market and in their transition to the NFL. So it would be a great thing to see Eli Manning back with the Giants in some sort of an official role. So we'll wait and see if something develops there. All right, Giants fans, let's do this. Let's take a quick break here for a word from our SB Nation sponsors. When we come back, I'll be talking to former Giants great Otis Anderson.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again, and I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Giants fans, I am pleased now to be joined by New York Giants Super Bowl 25 MVP, Otis Anderson. And Otis is here courtesy of Novo Nordisk, which deals with type 2 diabetes and obesity. Otis, welcome to the program.
Let's talk New York Giants. Let's talk football. And I have to ask you, you know, two things going all the way back to the Super Bowl against the Bills. The first thing that I have to ask you is something that I just learned the other day. Did you actually hang up on Bill Parcells when the Giants traded for you? I heard that story the other day and I was like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. Did you hang up on Bill?
Well, you know what? We were good. The Cardinals, we were good for playing practical jokes with everyone. So when you're on the practice field and you're practicing and all of a sudden you get called to the office, you know, it's like kind of going to the principal office. And I'm thinking it's a practical joke because it doesn't make sense. Because if I'm going to get traded, you get traded on a Tuesday, which is your day off, and you got a chance to prepare and you arrive at the city, which you got traded to. But I'm on the practice field in my uniform when Larry Wilson walked down and said he had to meet with me about situation and wouldn't tell me until I got into the locker room. And I walked to the training room and the trainers looked at me and said, you okay? Are you hurt? I said, no. They said that I just got traded to New York. And they said, well, we don't know anything about it because we haven't heard anything. And I turned around and went to walk out the training room and the phone rang. And they said, hold up, telephone. And I said, okay. So I get to the phone and I hear Parcells say, hey, kid, how you doing? And I'm like, oh, yeah, this good, Coach Parcells. He said, yeah, Coach Parcells. I said, click. Hey, you can't be Parcells calling me, you know. Come on.
How'd he take being hung up on?
He called back, and I was still there, and the guy said, no, it's really Coach Parcells. And I got on the phone. I said, sorry, Coach, something must have happened, but, how you doing? I'm happy to be a Giant. You know? So that's how that went.
Yeah, that's a funny story. That's good stuff. The other thing that I have always wanted to ask you, you know, you're always going to be known for the uppercut in the Super Bowl game, the uppercut on Mark Kelso.
Right.
And I want to know, what sound did he make when you hit him? That's what I want to know.
A loud grunt. Yeah, a loud grunt. You know, when somebody knock you in your gut and your wind come out and you just can't grab that extra breath. Kind of how it sound when I hit him. Because he went, oh!
I got it good. I'm sure you enjoyed that.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, so let's talk a little bit about the current Giants. And I know that these days you consider yourself a Giants fan when we get through this pandemic. I'm sure that you're looking forward to getting back to, you know, to doing signings. I know you show up at a lot of the games and do pregame stuff like that. I mean, how much of a thrill is that for you, you know, for people to still recognize you and to interact with people that way?
Well, it feels good to be recognized, first of all and foremost. And Giant fan love their Giants. And to have a chance to be around the current players to kind of help them along as they go through their process of being a Giant and what it takes to be a Giant and all those intangibles. And And it's just good camaraderie. It's camaraderie because I see a lot of my other fellow Giant teammates at the game because we bleed blue and we just try to make sure that the players understand the hard work and the dedication we put into creating, one, the new stadium that they have and all the other perks that they have gotten from the sweat and tears and hard work that me and my other fellow Giant teammates have brought forth.
Yeah, it's always interesting, you know, when I cover the games, I see so many former players, you know, hanging around the press box, hanging around the facility, you know, signing autographs, meeting with people. Just, I mean, from what you know, is that, you know, the norm around the league, around franchises around the league, or are the Giants, you know, kind of special in the way that former players stay involved in the franchise?
I think different teams have different relationship with their alumni players. Mr. Wellington Mara had said way back, once a Giant, always a Giant. So he's always welcome of any Giant that were a Giant, even if for an hour or 5 minutes or a minute, you are a Giant forever. So just to have that clear path of acceptance makes you feel good to show up at the stadium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, it's always nice to see so many former Giants hanging around. So I want to ask you, you know, it's been a struggle for the Giants now for 7 or 8 years. I think it's only one playoff appearance since winning the 2011 Super Bowl. You know, you've watched, you know, coaches come and go and things change and, you know, how do you feel about Joe Judge and how optimistic are you, you know, as a fan that things are about to turn for this franchise?
I feel 100% that it's about to change. And as far as Joe Judge is concerned, when you get a guy off Bill Belichick's tree line and, you know, Parcells and Bill have done a great job of putting seeds in the ground and having those seeds become big trees. And you see that with Belichick and Joe. Joe has learned his craft well. He understands it. He understands the relationship you must have with your players and the respect that you need from management. Because without that, you can't have a winning team. And he seemed like he's a player coach. And he wants us alumni players around. He wants us visible so that these players can see it and get what it is to be a Giant. So we are happy that we have him, and we feel that big things going to be coming our way. And you can see that by how we played the last few games when we were clearly out of it early on. But they were close, and I said many times, Stephen Baker, and I said many times, when they learn how to win, they're going to be tough. And that's what they started doing toward the end of the season. They started learning how to win. So those close games, they were able to pull it off. And that because of coaching. Coaching and players believing in the coaching and the system they are being taught.
It's so funny because we asked Joe a lot during the season about the whole, you know, does a young team need to learn how to win kind of thing. And he always deflected that. And he said that to me, there's no such thing as, you know, quote unquote, learning how to win. There's learning how to play 60 minutes of football, you know, that results mm-hmm. in winning. Mm-hmm. But I mean, for you, what does learn how to win actually mean, you know, for you as a former player?
Well, when we look at learn how to win, let's put it this way. When I was a Cardinal, every game we played tough. But when it came to the fourth quarter, we pretty much knew we weren't going to win it. So we didn't know what it took to win or how much more effort, or how much more you have to be aware of your surrounding and your – so. Until you learn those tangibles, it's hard to understand how do I win when the little mistakes like jumping offside or not reading you in the right coverage or running the wrong route, those are elements that can prevent you from winning or having ball security. So those things can keep you from winning. So when I say learn how to win, I mean learn how not to make those mistakes that cost you a chance of winning the game. And that's the best way Parcells always told us. Don't you be the man who cost us not to execute a play that could have possibly given us a victory. Don't you be the man who didn't do the assignment. So that's where I get that learning how to win from. It's an attitude, and it's something that comes from believing that you can win, and you do it.
You know, I need to ask you, you know, as a former running back, I need to ask you, you know, I'll get to Saquon in a second, but was it fun for you to watch a guy like Wayne Gallman run this year? I mean, the thing about Wayne Gallman for me was that he's not a breakaway back, but the thing that was enjoyable for me this year was watching a guy like that push the pile and get pretty much as much yardage as he could out of most every play. So I'm just curious if it was fun for you to watch him this year.
Well, I'm asking that question by saying yes, and I'm gonna go a little further with it. When I found out, when I met Wayne and found out that he was from Clemson and they had won the national championship and he was the featured running back, I was like, wow, so you that kid. And then when I saw him play, and when Barkley came in and he was playing and he wasn't really getting much time, and I would talk to him. I would say, listen, man, you're a player away from being on the field. You just got to always be ready, because when your time comes to shine, you got to do it. And you got to make people remember that you are in this league for a reason, and that given an opportunity, you can carry the load. And when he had that opportunity, he showed what he can do. I've said for a long time, the Giants should never get rid of that kid. And I'm glad they kept him around, because he's very valuable. And I love what he does. He's a one cut and take what you give. And he's not trying to hit the home run every time he hit the ball, get the ball in his hand. And that's the difference between him and Barkley. I know you're going to get to Barkley, but as we get to Barkley, I would elaborate more on what I mean by a home run hitter every time you touch the ball, compared to Wayne, who take what the offense, the defense give him. And he just always falling forward. And I always told him that. I said, hey, man, when you get the ball, your job is to get 2 to 3 yards every time you get the ball. You want to make second and third down manageable for your quarterback, so it's easy for you to stay on the field longer.
So let's get to Barkley a little bit. And you talked about home run hitter, and that's really what he is. And as great as he is, I think sometimes the frustrating thing to watch with Saquon can be the idea that as many home runs as he hits, he tends to sometimes look for that home run. This is just, and this is, you know, from my perspective, mm-hmm. where you'll turn a play that should have been a 2 yard gain into a 3 yard loss. What I want to ask you is, am I seeing the right thing? And how much better can he be, you know, when he learns to just take that 2 yard gain?
Okay. And that's a great question. And I'm gonna go back to say, when I was a rookie and I came into the league, every play that I touched the ball, I thought I could go the distance. And yeah, I was successful my first year. But next year after that, when people realized I was no longer surprised, then it took me a hard and a long time to understand that. And what happens is, when you have success making big plays out of nothing, and you get to the point where every play you think you go the distance, every play you try, and you forget down the distance, you forget situation, all you want to do is make that big run. And you have to learn that every play is not a big run, but if you keep taking those 2 and 3 yard plays, that big play will come. It always happened in a game where you'll take a play that looked like it's going to be nothing, and those are the plays that end up being the home run hitters. It just comes from him growing up, him understanding. His position coach just needs to sit down and show him Wayne. Show him films of what Wayne. Because Wayne running the same plays that he pretty much ran. I think that's part of some differences where, you know, they might have changed the thing a little bit. But look at what Wayne did. Wayne took what the defense gave him, and he didn't try to get those home runs every time he touched the football. But you saw them come. You saw many opportunities. He had runs for over 15 and 20 yards. It's because he was patient.
You have any doubts that Saquon's going to come back 100%?
You know, when you get a knee injury, you just don't know. You just don't know. I was fortunate to play 14 years and never had any knee surgery, never had any serious bad injuries to my knee other than a hyperextension, you know, one time. But it's hard. You don't know coming off an injury, no matter what it is, whether it's a shoulder or elbow or wrist or ankles. You just don't know until you put it in motion. The one serious injury that I did say I could have been a serious one was playoff game was against Green Bay when I was I think it was the short season in 82, and I had my ankle roll up real bad by Mike Douglas, outside linebacker, and I thought I literally broke my ankle. It took me the third game of the season to realize that I was back and I was okay and that I could do the things I once did. So it's gonna take a minute.
Last question for you. Who you picking in the Super Bowl? I know I keep going back and forth, and I have a hard time picking against Tom Brady, but I think I have an even harder time picking against Patrick Mahomes.
And that's why I say that too, Ed, because if you go back and look at it, I mean, sure, that if you look at the first time they played, Kansas City jumped out on them and looked pretty good, and then Brady kind of figured it out, and they made a run for it. I think they lost by 3 points. That team that played Tampa, that played Kansas City early, is totally different. Brady has finally incorporated the system that was in New England into Tampa. He had put the pieces that he needed together that he had in New England to Tampa. If you look at what they're doing, it's so much similarity. Brady has taken control over the offense where he can make the calls on plays and adjustments. And that's what gave Brady the success that he had. And he has it now, and the player's starting to understand it. But then you go back and look at Mahomes, because he's such the X factor. When you do everything right, he somehow make that little extra throw or a little extra look off or a little extra run. He's the factor that make you say, I can't go against the young gun. But Brady as the GOAT makes you feel you can't go against him because he's finally going to figure this thing out. So I'm going to tell you this, Ed, and I said it earlier to a couple other reporters I talked to. I'm going to pick the team with the most points to go win.
Oh, all right. Then you're guaranteed to win. I don't know if you can put money on that, but you're guaranteed to win. Otis, appreciate the time, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you again. I know it's something I've wanted to do for a while, so thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Ed, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about Novo Nordisk and the great work they're doing with diabetes awareness and the NFL alumni huddle up. Here at Novo Nordisk, we're constantly talking about obesity, and that is one of the symptoms of diabetes as well. So we're working together with the NFL Alumni Association, and their campaign is Huddle Up, Let's Talk Obesity. And you can go to huddleupobesity.com to get more information about it. And I think it's just a great partnership when you get two organizations like Novo Nordisk and the NFL alumni to come together and talk about such a serious cause and to try to educate people about obesity and diabetes all at the same time.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, Giants fans, hope you enjoyed that interview with Otis Anderson as much as I did. Just a few notes, a few things to clean up, few things to make you aware of here before we call it a show for today. Just wanted to make sure that you guys have been checking out all of our Senior Bowl coverage this week. Chris Flum, Joe DeLeon, you know, doing great work covering the Senior Bowl from a Giants perspective. Also hope that you've been checking out our YouTube videos, where we're putting together quite a good collection of Giants related videos, draft related videos, season recap kind of stuff that we hope you enjoy as well. And also, please remember, you know, check us out on Instagram as well. Follow us on Twitter at Big Blue View. And of course, as always, you know, subscribe to our podcasts on all of your favorite podcast applications. All right, Giants fans, take care of each other out there. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.